the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It is a Thursday. Welcome to it. Nicole Sandler here at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. Somebody in an email the other day suggested I try to find some good news stories to share every once in a while because we are so inundated with bad news. And today, I'll try. Ron Johnson, Senator from Wisconsin, admits that the secret society text between the two FBI agents was probably written in jest. After all this craziness over the secret society and the FBI, he admits it was probably a joke. It was a joke. Now, I wonder if he'll go on Fox and say that. And more, I guess, good news. The 5 months of missing texts have allegedly been found. So there's that. Again, we're talking about texts between two people who were involved in a relationship, personal texts, and neither one of them were big fans of Trump. Go figure. And that's about it. That's the good news I have for you. Then there's this. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists announced that the symbolic doomsday clock is moving a notch closer to the end of humanity. It's now set at 2 minutes to midnight. Yeah, the clock is the closest to the midnight hour it's been since 1953. That after the United States tested its first thermonuclear device, followed months later by the Soviet Union's hydrogen bomb test. Unbelievable. The doomsday prediction reflects recent geopolitical events, including North Korea's intercontinental ballistic missile test, the war of words between Dump himself and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, and that accidental inbound missile alert that terrified Hawaii. Yeah, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists wrote an accompanying op-ed for the Washington Post that said, quote, "The world is not only more dangerous now than it was a year ago, it is as threatening as it has been since World War II. So we've got that going for us. Oh, yeah. And then there's a guy named Cortland Sykes. Have you heard about Cortland Sykes? Cortland Sykes is running for the U.S. Senate from Missouri. And he has a statement on Facebook. For whatever reason, he posted this. I guess he thought it made him look good. The statement, it was excerpted and transcribed from an interview of questions and answers from September. And today, for whatever reason, now this week, it's getting notice. The question was, do you favor women's rights? Again, this man is running for the U.S. Senate from Missouri. Now, I'm not a huge Claire McCaskill fan, but my goodness, give me Claire McCaskill any day over this guy. So here's his answer to the question, do you favor women's rights? I may not get through the whole thing. Well, he says, Chanel, my fiancé, has given me orders to favor them, so I'd better. But Chanel knows that my obedience comes with a small price that she loves to pay anyway. I want to come home to a home-cooked dinner at 6 every night, one that she fixes and one that I expect one day to have daughters learn to fix after they become traditional homemakers and family wives. Think Norman Rockwell here and Gloria Steinem be damned. I don't buy into radical feminism's crazed definition of modern womanhood, and I never did. They don't own that definition and never did. They made it up to suit their own nasty, snake-filled heads. Snake-filled? All right. Modern women can be anything they want, including traditional women, as millions and millions more are fast becoming. Millennial women voters despised Hillary and cost her the election, and they weren't Russians, he writes. I wonder why they despise her. One reason is they look at her personal life's wreckage and didn't want to become like her. I couldn't make this up if I tried. And he continues, and I don't buy the nonstop feminism campaign against manhood. Oh, he's one of those manhood people, I guess. He continues, men and women are different, and gender-bending word games by a goofy nest of drugstore academics aren't going to change anything except the fantasy life of those confused people in ivory towers. Wow. There's more. Wait, there's more. I want daughters to have their own intelligence, their own dignity, their own workspace, and their own degrees. I want them to build home-based enterprises and live in homes shared with good husbands, and I don't want them to grow up into career-obsessed banshees who forego home life and children and the happiness of family to become nail-biting, manophobic, hell-bent feminist she-devils who shriek from the tops of 1,000 tall buildings they are think they could have leaped over in a single bound had men not suppressing them. I'm just reading it exactly as it's written, I promise you. It's just nuts, this person writes. It always was. Again, this is Courtland Sykes, U.S. Senate candidate from Missouri, who is trying to answer the question, do you favor women's rights? He finishes by saying, I support women's rights, but not the kind that has oppressed natural womanhood for 5 long decades. The kind of wrongheaded women's rights that allow mean-spirited, radical feminists to use political correctness and their little broom label of sexist to define womanhood and women's rights for me, for my family, for you and your family, or for my country and the world. But good news, they're finished. Ask Hillary. Someone should have stood up and faced them off years ago. This is all on this person's Facebook page. Again, his name is Courtland Sykes. He is a candidate for the U.S. Senate from Missouri. And, well, I've got a song for him.
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 His name is
Courtland Sykes.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know where in the process this Courtland Sykes guy is. I don't know if he could be the front runner for the Republican nomination from Missouri. I certainly hope he is. And again, then I would be cheering on Claire McCaskill even more than I am already. Look, it's Missouri. I get it. Or Missouri. But wow. By the way, there's a new Quinnipiac poll out. Trump's approval rating is 36 to 58. Approve strongly, 28. Disapprove strongly, 52. Does not provide U.S. with moral leadership, 33 to 63. Is not a good role model for children, 29 to 67. So people get it, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know. Ay, ay, ay. It's Thursday. Howie Klein's here. And you know, one thing we talk about every Thursday is the problems within the Democratic Party, how especially in primary season, the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the group tasked with getting Democrats elected to Congress, tends to favor blue dogs and new Dems over progressives. Well, there's a new article up at The Intercept written by Ryan Grimm and Lee Fong that it hits squarely on that. So we'll talk with Howie Klein about that today, among other things, I'm sure. But first, we'll check in with what's news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The president on Wednesday held a short impromptu press conference outside White House Chief of Staff John Kelly's office, at which he seemed to undercut his administration's message, telling reporters that he'd allow dreamers to, quote, morph into citizens.
We want great border security. We want to
do a great job with DACA. I think it's our issue. I think it's a great, better issue for the Republicans and for the Democrats.
Do you want citizenship for Dreamers?
We're going to morph into it. It's going to happen at some point in the future. Over a period of 10 to 12 years, somebody does a great job. They've worked hard. It gives incentive to do a great job, but they've worked hard. They've done terrifically, whether they have a little company or whether they work or whatever they're doing, if they do a great job. I think it's a nice thing to have the incentive of, after a period of years, being able to become a citizen.
Trump dropped another bombshell. He said he'd speak to Robert Mueller under oath in the Russia investigation.
Are you going to talk to Mueller? I'm looking forward to it, actually.
You want to?
Do you have a date set?
Here's a start, just so you understand. There's been no collusion whatsoever. There's no obstruction whatsoever. And I'm looking forward to it. I do worry when I look at all of the things that you people don't report about with what's happening. If you take a look at, you know, the 5 months worth of missing texts, that's a lot of
missing
texts. They found
them. They found them.
And as I said yesterday, that's prime time. So you do sort of look at that and say, what's going on? You do look at certain texts where they talk about insurance policies or insurance, where they say the kinds of things they're saying. You got to be concerned. But I would love to do that, and I'd like to do it as soon as possible.
What will
Good
you
luck,
do with
everybody.
Mr. President? Do you have a date come set?
So here's the story.
Do you have a date set?
I don't know. No, I guess they're talking about 2 or 3 weeks, but I would love to do it.
Would you do in person?
You know, again, it's, I have to say, subject to my lawyers and all of that, but I would love
would
to
do it.
Would
you do it under oath, Mr. President?
You mean like Hillary did it under oath? Who said that?
Oh. I said that. Would you do it under oath?
You said it. You did say it. You say a lot. Did Hillary do it under oath?
I have no idea, but I'm not asking.
I think you have an idea. Don't you have an idea?
Do you think
wait a minute. Wait. Do you not have an idea? Do you really not have an idea? I'll give you an idea. She didn't do it under oath. But I would do it under oath. Listen.
You would.
But I would do it. And you know she didn't do it under oath, right?
She would do it under oath.
If you didn't know about Hillary, then you're not much of a reporter.
I think you're going to do it under oath.
Say it.
To reach a higher standard, you would do it under oath.
Oh, I would do it under oath.
The president's lawyer, Ty Cobb, almost immediately took all that back, saying that Trump was speaking, quote, hurriedly, and that he was willing to meet with the special counsel only if it could be negotiated by the lawyers. The New York Times reporting that Cobb said the president was not trying to volunteer to testify before a grand jury, which is how prosecutors speak to witnesses under oath. Trump traveled overnight and arrived in Davos, Switzerland on Thursday morning, where he'll attend the World Economic Forum. In a speech on Friday, the president will tout his America First agenda. Judge Rosemarie Aquilina sentenced Dr. Larry Nassar, the former doctor of the USA gymnastics team, to 40 to 175 years for molesting young female athletes under the guise of giving medical treatment.
Now, I am honoring the agreement. I'm also honoring what's been requested of me. And I want you to know I'm not good at math. I have a cheat sheet. I'm only a lawyer. I know that you have a lot of education in physics and math, but I have a cheat sheet. It is my privilege on counts 1, 2, 5, 8, 10, and 18, and 24 to sentence you to 40 years. And when I look at my cheat sheet, 40 years, just so you know and you can count it off your calendar, is 480 months. The tail end, because I need to send a message to the parole board in the event. Somehow God is gracious, and I know He is. And you survived the 60 years in federal court first, and then you start on my 40 years? You've gone off the page here as to what I'm doing. My page only goes to 100 years. Sir, I'm giving you 175 years, which is 2,100 months. I've just signed your death warrant.
ABC News is reporting that the text message between two FBI agents touted by Republican lawmakers as evidence of a, quote, secret society conspiring against President Trump appears to have been nothing more than a joke. The months-old message between FBI lawyer Lisa Page and senior FBI agent Peter Strzok was reportedly submitted to the Senate Homeland Security Committee last week as investigators look into possible anti-Trump bias in the agency. Quote, are you even going to give out your calendars? Seems kind of depressing. Maybe it should just be the first meeting of the secret society. That's what Page was quoted as saying in the message by ABC News. There were reportedly no messages immediately before or after that one, and nothing else referencing a, quote, secret society. I got the And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate. And for a bit more of what's happening in the news, we turn to our friends at the Talk Media News Service. They're at TalkMediaNews.com. And Doug Christian is on the line today. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Nicole, how you doing?
Oh, hanging in there. It's never a dull moment, huh? So, you know, at the end of What's News, we talked about the secret society text that Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin made such a big deal of. And now he's admitting, well, it was probably a joke. After all of Republican land goes into a tizzy over, oh, my God, they have a secret society aimed at taking down Trump.
Well, they've been so short-sighted. This whole idea was to protect Trump. I don't know why they want to protect this dude. I have no idea, but they do. And the thing is that some people have to remind the Republican conference. By the way, we used to be the law and order party that supported the FBI.
Right.
And by the way, you are diminishing the FBI and making it much more difficult for agents to actually win the trust of people, if you're making these false allegations. And so, of course, he instead of saying, "Oh, I was irresponsible. It was totally wrong to do this." He says, "Oh, it was a joke."
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if he'll go on Fox and say that though, because it's gonna, you know, because they've all run with it. That there's some secret society in the FBI aiming to overthrow the government or something.
Well, you know, in fairness, there are a few people at Fox that won't buy that. I mean, I don't think Chris Wallace would buy it. You know,
no,
there are a few others.
There
that
are
won't,
some news
you know.
People. Shepard Smith wouldn't. I guess Brett Baer,
no,
from what
Shepard,
I know of
no,
him,
no. Shep Smith would not.
Right. But you got their primetime lineup who've all gone all, you know, tinfoil hat on this. And
right.
And sadly, a good portion of the population believes what they hear over there.
It's really sad. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they also have to look at themselves and say, what are we doing? I mean, we're looking for short term gain for at the price of long term destruction. And I mean, this is I mean, they really have to decide, you know, if this is how they want to be remembered, you know,
right.
In history,
yep.
They want to be enablers. And this is, and it's the same type of enabler as those who enabled Larry Nassar, actually. You know, people who wanted to look the other way just because they didn't want to stir the pot or get in the weeds about anything. And now, of course, as this has all been unfolding with the gymnastics team, you've seen that the provost in Michigan has had to resign.
Yep.
And there are going to be a lot more. There are going to be a lot more where that came from because, again, just like in politics with enablers, you've got enablers for abuse. It's the same thing.
Yeah. That scene in the courtroom yesterday was pretty devastating. That judge was awesome.
She was amazing.
Yes. But I feel for those girls, those poor girls who are going to live with this forever. And it's something that should have been the most positive experience in their lives. They have these horrible memories of. So what's going to happen with USA Gymnastics now? How do they pick up and move on from this?
Exactly. And I mean, I do feel that the judge and some of the girls and their victim statements, you know, the judge said, you know, how to, you know, I want you to own your life. I want you to be able to take control again of your lives. And of course, it's going to be very difficult. But some of the girls and some of their victim statements said, you know, that you're not going to diminish me. You're not going to subsume me. I am not going to be a victim going forward on this. And not that all 150 girls, at least 150
yep.
girls can do that.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, that was a very, those were very powerful statements. And I love the way the judge said, look, this story isn't about me. It's about the girls. And I don't want to speak about this now to the media. It's not that you have been doing a great job. You have been, despite what Nassar had claimed that somehow he had been victimized by the media. Same way as Trump claims that he's been victimized
right.
by the, quote, fake news. Same thing, where people who are abundantly guilty, at least in action, blame the reporter rather than their own actions.
Right.
And she said, yeah, but then she said, I will not speak to media when I do without a girl present, because this is her story. It's not mine.
Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah. She was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love the way that she threw down the papers and dismissed him. You know, she said, you're not a doctor even. You're just, you know, and you don't even own what you did. You just want to, oh, she was amazing.
Yep. What else
yeah.
is going on? So Trump is over at Davos now. By the way, he went at the invitation of Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, and skipped his speech. That was the reason he was there, was because of Macron, and he didn't bother to go to Macron's speech. Meanwhile, Trump speaks tomorrow, and he's pushing this America First nonsense, which probably is not going to play too well on the you know, on the global stage.
The thing is that Donald Trump it represents everything that the people who formed Davos are against. I mean, everything. It's almost exactly the opposite. He is a hard right nationalist, and these people are globalists, almost liberal democratic globalists.
They are. They're the richest of the rich. They're the most. This is the most exclusive.
Yeah, but they also feel that open. They are, but they also do believe that open trade is very important. This guy is protection. Trump is protectionist.
Mm-hmm.
He is about closed borders. Davos is not about that. Yes, they may be the richest of the rich, but they see themselves almost as developing the world economic, the health of the world's economy,
right.
as it's called, the World Economic Forum. And but I love what Graydon Carter said of Donald Trump. Graydon Carter, the great. I don't know if he's former, but he was editor of
Vanity Fair
forever.
Yes.
And before at Spy, he said, Donald Trump is the most vulgar human being I have ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that Graydon Carter has met one or two people in his life that were vulgar. So, yes, he is the most vulgar person he has ever met. And Donald Trump, he is that. I mean, he cannot get away from that part of him. And he's rejected by the global elites on a very visceral and intellectual level both. And so he's going to Davos with knowing that he is an unwanted figure, as he was an unwanted figure in New York. He was not
mm-hmm.
accepted by New Yorkers. He was seen as a joke, as a clown, really, that somehow had figured out a way to get money. And it could have been, as Mueller seems to be finding out, maybe it's from money laundering. It was something. It wasn't all... And if it was because of money laundering, there is a lot of reporting that says that that his offspring, that Ivanka and also his son-in-law, are petrified that Mueller is going to dig out the underlying way that they – the means way they made their stash their cash.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very upset about it.
Yeah,
and
meanwhile, you have – You have Trump saying, telling the press yesterday that he's looking forward to being interviewed by Mueller, that he'll do so under oath. And then his lawyer, Ty Cobb, had to come out immediately afterwards and say, well, not so fast.
Ty Cobb, I mean, this is why, you know, these Keystone Cop lawyers, such as Ty Cobb, are the lawyers that represent Donald Trump, because none of the blue chip lawyers in Washington D.C. would get close to this guy, and because he's just an unmanageable figure in that way, of course there has been speculation that there is one of the people that is close to the Mueller investigation, which is Gates, Rick Gates may be actually getting heavy duty lawyering on a blue chip level, which may indicate that in fact that he's actually going to, this is just speculation, that he actually may be negotiating with Mueller to cooperate. That is just speculation, but if that happens, that is a huge deal, because Gates actually is more embedded than even Flynn, definitely more than the Papadopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
It would be actually devastating if that's the fact. I mean, that again is pure speculation, but it's been looked at because he has been getting a different set of lawyers. So that's kind of interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course we've got very shortly coming up, weirdly enough, another budget negotiation.
Yeah.
It's February 8th. Just around the corner.
2 weeks from today, we run out of money again. And so you had Chuck Schumer say, you know, that the wall is now off the table again.
Terrible.
And Trump is off in Davos. So is anything going on? I mean, are they going to wait till the last minute again to start negotiations and start dealing with this?
This is terrible. Where is the Democrats' spine if they do not fight for this? I mean, yes, it is true that they got the CHIP program, but these are almost a million people that gave away all their information to the federal government and paid a $500 fee in order mm-hmm. to do this.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they are, I mean, talk about a breach of contract. They are now being told, oh, by the way, even though you've grown up here, you've lived here all your life, this is your home country, we're going to deport you. I mean, this is insanity. It is, it's like the Middle Ages. It is, we should be ashamed of ourselves if our government treats such people in this way. I mean, our citizens, they're Americans in every way except for this piece of paper. It's horrific. And of course, as you know, there've been protests over in front of Chuck Schumer's Brooklyn home.
Mm-hmm.
There've been many progressives throughout that are horrified by this, and I would understand that there needs to be a there have to be some negotiations here. I mean, I actually thought that it made sense to say, look, you stupid, stupid, stupid wall, you want to build it, here's your stupid wall. What's $18 billion? First of all, nobody's going to spend $18 billion
The wall's not going to be built. I mean, it'll
right.
take so long
so, okay.
that he'll be out of office before they get around to it. But the whole thing was handled horribly.
Yeah. Earmark it, damn it. But these people, don't put these people on the line. I mean, this is insane. And it's just terrible. It's just terrible. And I don't know... Democrats are going to reconcile on February 8th about this, because Chuck Schumer is very good at not keeping his promises.
Well, it's not only it's not Chuck Schumer's promise to keep. It's Mitch McConnell who.
I say Chuck Schumer. I meant Mitch McConnell. Okay. I'm sorry. I meant Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell does, the House is not even part of this. So my prediction is there's going to be another continuing resolution, at least one more, that nothing is going to be done by February 8th, and the Democrats are just going to go along with it.
Which is terrible. I mean, because the thing is that the Dreamers have gotten double speak. They've gotten double speak from Democrats who have said, we've got you, we're going to fight for you. And then they've gotten doublespeak from Donald Trump, who A, rejected the DACA program, then turned around and said just yesterday, oh, don't worry, you don't have to worry. Well, of course you have to worry. You could be deported.
I've got the sound of it. Here we go.
Should these Dreamers be concerned that they could be deported on March 5th if a deal is not reached?
I tell them not to be concerned, okay?
Right.
They have nothing to be concerned.
Tell them not to worry.
Can I just
we're going to solve the problem.
Clarify one thing, Mr.
Now, it's up to the Democrats, but they should not be concerned.
It's not up to the Democrats, but and I believe Donald Trump about as far as I can throw him.
No,
it's not very far.
I'm sure you can't throw him very far, because even though he's got the fitness of a football player, he's 239 pounds.
Sure,
and
he
is. He's 6'3".
Right.
Believe that.
In his dreams. Anyway, Doug Christian from the Talk Media News Service at talkmedianews.com. Thanks so much, Doug.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Nicole.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
It is Thursday. That means Howie Klein is here. So we'll take a very quick break and come back with Howie Klein and talk about all the things that the Democratic Party is doing wrong. Not all the things. We don't have enough time for that. Some of the things that the Democratic Party is doing wrong. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
Grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, yes, every Thursday we get together with Howie Klein of the Blue America PAC and Down With Tyranny to talk about politics and the sad workings of the Democratic Party, it seems. Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole, how are you?
I'm doing okay, and you?
Other than I'm just spelling your name wrong, I'm doing really good. I just tweeted that I'm going on the air with Nicole Sander.
Oh, you know, people call me Sanders all the time, and I sort of let that slip, you know, slide, because I could be confused with worse names. I've been called much worse.
I bet. So you've got an event in your area today. Nancy Pelosi is down in South Florida doing a campaign event with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And then they wonder why young voters and progressive voters are turned off to the Democratic Party.
And check this out. I knew nothing about it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I've heard nothing about it, knew nothing about it. Don't hear much of Debbie these days. And that's a good thing, too.
Right. Well, she's a little nervous because one of her political allies was in charge of, I can't remember her title, but she was the Broward County person in charge of counting votes. Uh-huh. And as you probably know, there was some irregularities there that gave her the election in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And so the judge said, okay, we're going to recount these votes. And suddenly all the votes have disappeared,
right,
and they were destroyed. So they were destroyed in the middle of a judicial activity to find out if she miscounted the votes.
Wow.
Or threw votes away or whatever. And so that's like a kind of a big deal. And Debbie is very freaked out about that because this is her person.
Wow. Florida politics are, it's usually Miami-Dade you hear about. This is Broward County, but it's still pretty bad. you have a Blue America contest going on for Debbie's opponent, Tim Canova, don't you?
We're about to. It hasn't started yet. It's a couple of weeks. Right now, what actually we're doing is I gave Tim the opportunity to pick his own prize. So we put up platinum records from Bare Naked Ladies,
mm-hmm,
Erasure, and Chris Isaak.
Good Democrat, Chris Isaak.
Democrat.
No,
and Erasure, and the other two are not Americans.
Right.
But in any case, so people can choose their own. His supporters are voting. And whoever gets the, whichever of those albums gets the most votes, that's the one that we'll do in the contest.
I see.
So they're still voting and trying to make a decision. And once they do, probably not this weekend, but probably the weekend after, we'll do the contest with Tim.
I gotcha. I saw your tweet about it. I retweeted. I guess I got it wrong. I thought the winner got to pick which one they want. But so the general public, Tim Canova's supporters, get to decide which one will go up in this contest to help support Tim Canova's candidacy.
Exactly right.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
As I said, I don't hear much about Debbie these days down here, but I don't hear much about Tim Canova either. That might have to do with we canceled our subscription to the Fort Lauderdale newspaper because it's so bad. It's been quiet regarding the primary, but the primary season is in full swing. This is what you and I talk about all the time. There was a great story. Each Thursday I email Howie to ask, what he would like to talk about when we get together on the show. And you mentioned, Howie, the story that was up at The Intercept a couple of days ago, the dead enders, candidates who signed up to battle Donald Trump must get past the Democratic Party first. And it's what we talk about all the time, how the Democratic Party, the DCCC, seems to be working actively against progressives who are running to enter Congress.
Yeah, so Lee Fang is an old friend of mine. I've been working with him for years.
Lee's great.
And Ryan Grimm is a friend as well. And they did this post together, this story for The Intercept together. And I liked them a lot and gave them some tips about where to look. I noticed that one of the links was to a story that I wrote some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And They did a really, really, really thorough and fantastic job. And then I wrote a story based on it, which Lee Fang mentioned on Twitter was, added to it, making it even more thorough.
Right.
So, a few weeks ago, I don't remember if you and I talked about this or not, but a suburban district mostly south of Denver has a hot contest. The Republican who's in that district is very weak, and Hillary won the district. Obama won the district. It's ripe for the plucking. It's a district that really hates Trump, and if there's good turnout, a Democrat will win. So of course the DCCC picks the worst possible candidate, this guy, Jason Crow. And, you know, they're trying to sell him as, you know, some fabulous military veteran. But, you know, if you want to look at who he is, he's an attorney who represented payday lenders. Wow. He's an attorney who spent his entire career disadvantaging working families. He's really, really bad. And he's just the kind of candidate that the DCCC likes. Because they look in the mirror and they see him. There aren't many worse candidates that they've chosen. So, and there's a really good candidate running as well, a guy named Levi Tillerman. And they, not only are they not backing him, but Hoyer went out there. And Hoyer does this frequently. He'll go to districts and do exactly what I'm about to say he did in the case of this Colorado district. He goes in and he tells the other candidate to get out of the race. He tries to bully them. He tries to bribe them. He does everything he can to make them feel bad. I remember when he did this in Florida one time, because he and Rahm Emanuel wanted to get Tim Mahoney.
Okay.
Remember when they discovered that Mark Foley was having his way with mm-hmm. underage boys?
Mm-hmm.
So the Democrats figured, well, here's a Republican district, but we could win it this time. And they did a lot of kind of very unethical things to win it. And one of them was that the guy who was running was a Democrat, a union guy, a school teacher, and they pushed him out of the race. And he was calling me all the time. He said, what's going on here? Why is Steny Hoyer so interested in this race? Because it was a Republican seat, and no one knew yet about Foley. But Rahm knew about Foley because he was on the House Administrative Committee mm-hmm. where they were talking about it. And Rahm was going to make sure everyone knew about this, but he was waiting. He waited till the same day that they could no longer add a new Republican's name to the ballot. So there's a deadline for that, and that was the day that Rahm allowed the press to know that kids were being sexually molested
wow.
by
Mark Foley.
Mark Foley, exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, that in itself was unethical because there were children or young men, I should say, but underage, who were still getting molested by him, and Rahm knew that, and Rahm could have stopped it earlier, but he wanted to wait he wanted to wait for partisan reasons, and
right.
he did, and it was months that he knew about this and didn't do anything about it. So in any case, at that point, they had asked this ex-Republican, so-called ex-Republican rich guy, if he would, they said, if you change your voter registration to be a Democrat, we'll give you the nomination. So he said, I'll do it under one condition. I don't want to have a primary. Because he realized he can't win in the Democratic primary. He wasn't a Democrat. He was a
mm-hmm.
lifelong Republican.
Right.
And if there's another Democrat running in the primary, he would lose. So he said he would only do it if they made sure there was no primary. So Hoyer came and talked to the Democrat and bullied him out of it. You know, first he offered him another job. And then he just, you know, said, you'll get no support. We'll make sure no unions back you. We'll make sure no big donors back you. You have to get out. And the guy eventually got out, and then they just crowned this, Tim Mahoney.
Tim Mahoney, I remember
Tim Mahoney.
Tim Mahoney
was so conservative. He got into Congress. He joined the Blue Dogs. He voted with the Republicans.
Wow.
And then, lo and behold, turns out he's having a sex scandal, and he was thrown out of Congress in the next election.
Unbelievable.
So that's the kind of thing that Steny Hoyer does. He's still doing it to this day, and he did it in Colorado. I remember when he did it in Pennsylvania when they wanted Matt Cartwright to get out, and Matt refused, and he won the election against some crony of Hoyer's. So that's the kind of thing that they do, which is pretty disgusting, and they do it all the time.
It's sickening. And they do it with the help. It's not only the DCCC. They've got these groups that you write about in this piece. And I'll link to this piece and the Li Fang, Ryan Grimm story as well on my blog after the show. you got Emily's List and a group called End Citizens United. Now, I knew Emily's List was bad. You know, they'll always go for the female, even if she's the most, you know, Republican type, so-called Democrat, going up
but
against...
But when there's a contest between two females, which is constantly mm-hmm. coming up, mm-hmm. you'll notice they always go for the conservative... and they never go for the progressive.
Right.
So that's what Emily's List is all about. People don't realize that. I've said this many times, but when Emily's List started, they were the model of all the groups. I mean, certainly Blue America, we based the way that we do things on Emily's List. But
wow.
Emily's List doesn't do that anymore. Now Emily's List is one of the worst of all the groups, and you were just bringing up End Citizens United.
Right.
And End Citizens United has nothing to do with ending Citizens United. That's just the name.
Wow.
And they're not doing that, and that's not what they're about. It's just a bunch of DCCC and DSCC staffers who were thinking, were told, how do we raise money, grassroots money? What are we going to do to raise grassroots money? Because the grassroots money isn't going to the DCCC or the DSCC anymore. Rich donors give to them, but grassroots people now know that they're bad organizations, and they stop giving to them. So what are they going to do? So they started this new organization, and they just very, you know, they put this name on it because they knew it would attract progressives, grassroots-based Democrats. But they have nothing to do with Ending Citizens United. All they are is an organization that basically is trying to get money to elect DCCC-type candidates. Occasionally, to draw in progressives and to draw in the base, they'll also nominate, you know, some big name progressives like Russ Feingold. They'll put him in, and then people think, oh yeah, they must be good, they're backing Russ Feingold, and they don't know who all these really terrible candidates are, but they figure if Russ is good, these other candidates are good too. But they're not, they're just a bunch of DCCC hacks. So that's a little game that they play. And Lee and Ryan both, you know, talk about that a little bit in their article, and then I elaborated on it more fully, since I think my blog, Down with Tyranny, was the very first place that ever noticed they were doing that and wrote about it. I think in 2015, as soon as they got started, we saw what they were doing, and we wrote about that as well.
It just blows my mind that they would do this, and I know they do, but I always wonder to what end. I mean, they're Democrats.
Money.
It's all about the money, and that's the whole point of the Intercept article as well. It's all about the money. They don't care what your politics are. They just want the candidate who's going to be able to raise the most money.
Yes, and they want not just raise the most money, but they want the candidate who's going to play game, who's going to play the game the way they want it played. So Steny Hoyer is basically owned by lock, stock, and barrel by K Street. He's the mm-hmm. guy from K Street. Just like Joe Crowley is the guy from Wall Street and Jim Himes is the guy from Wall Street, Hoyer is the lobbyist guy. K Street is where all the lobbyists are physically in Washington, and they are Hoyer's allies. He's their guy. And he wants to elect more Democrats who will play that game, you know, where you get donations from these lobbyists, and then you take their call and hear what they have to say. And if it's not a big deal to you, you just go along with what they want. And that's, that's who they're trying to elect at the DCCC. That's what Hoyer wants. And that's it. That's the problem. They literally want corrupt people. So, you know, that's what the new Dems are all about. The DCCC and the new Dems recently put on a candidates event in Washington, D.C., where they invite all these conservative candidates, Democratic conservative candidates.
Right.
They come to the event knowing that they're going to be introduced to all these corrupt, disgusting lobbyists who are going to give them money. They write a check, and then they partially own them. When you vote for a new Dem, no matter what the new Dem tells you, no matter what it says in their campaign literature, no matter what it says in their advertising, you are electing someone who is corrupt. They may not have done it yet, but they've agreed to it. That's what a new Dem is. They are the most corrupt Democrats. So they'll tell you, oh yeah, we back, we back universal health care, whatever that means. And, and they'll say whatever they have to say to get the Democratic base to vote for them. But basically what they are just people who are owned lock, stock, and barrel by the lobbyists and by Wall Street. And that is what defines a new Dem. It's really the worst thing. And people don't know what a new Dem means. When I first started blogging, no one knew what a blue dog was.
Right.
Literally no one knew. And I was fighting and trying to get that out there in the blogger list, telling people what a new Dem is. And, you know, there was a lot of resistance at first. I mean, all these bloggers were cursing me and saying I was destroying the Democratic Party. But eventually, over the years, people started seeing, you know, Howie was right. They're so conservative and they're horrible. And eventually the blue dogs became, you know, it became a curse word, and no one defends them anymore, almost nobody. But what happened is along comes Rahm Emanuel's organization, the New Dems, and they're just as bad as the blue dogs. I mean, they tend to also be racist, and the New Dems aren't especially racist. So that's the main difference. But in terms of policy, they're just the same thing, the same awful kind of corrupt groups. So when you know, you see that the New Dems are backing somebody, they're very, very careful with who they back. They never back a progressive, ever. They only back conservative Democrats who will vote. Everyone was upset because a certain number of Democrats, like I don't know. I don't remember the exact number. It was like either 40. I think it was 45. Yeah, 45 Democrats voted basically to throw the Dreamers under the bus.
Right.
And people were really, really upset about that. Mm-hmm. Who did that? Who's the New Dems? And not every one of the 45. I mean, because the Blue Dogs did it too, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But these were conservative Democrats that voted against the Dreamers. You know, 166 Democrats voted for it. Voted against what the Republicans were trying to do. But the New Dems crossed the aisle and voted with the Republicans, the New Dems and the Blue Dogs. That's who they are. So if that's what you want, if you want the kind of Democrat who does that, then the New Dems are right for you. If you would like Democrats to, like, mean something and to stick up for something like the Dreamers, for example, then you vote against the New Dems and the Blue Dogs.
And that's why the primary season is so important. This is when we can get progressives in if people pay attention. But it's a heavy lift because you're going against the party.
It is. And especially in a year like this, where there are going to be a lot of people swept into power just because there's this big wave coming and people are going to vote who wouldn't normally vote.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats are going to go to the polls and vote where they would not normally do that. You know, you're seeing it more and more frequently now. There was an election on Tuesday that didn't get much press because it was a Democratic district and the Democrat won. So what's mm-hmm. the news? There's no news there. But there was news there because the Democrats win that district usually with around 55%. So the district is usually a 55-45% district. So it's fairly safe for a Democrat. Hillary beat Trump there. I think she had 53% of the vote. The last Democratic legislator had, I think, 56 something like that, 56-57% of the vote. So Democrats win that district. So they won the special election. The last Democrat who was in the legislature, in the Pennsylvania legislature, was thrown out of office because he had a gambling ring, an illegal gambling ring. So he lost his seat. And everybody figured, okay, so another Democrat will come in and he'll win. And he did. But he won with 75%.
Wow.
That is a big deal.
Yes.
And the reason isn't because Republicans voted for him. That isn't what happened. What happened is Republicans were so disheartened by Trump and so just not in, they just didn't show up. They
sure.
just didn't show up to vote.
Right.
So the turnout wasn't good. The turnout was pretty bad, but the turnout was Democratic. They came and voted, and it was the Republicans who didn't come out and vote. So that's part of what a wave is, and it's very scary when you think of Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer doing things, and the New Dems doing things that are going to turn the base out. turn the base off, I should say. Mm-hmm. And that worries me. You know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the base hates her. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, especially Bernie fans, know that she stole the presidential election. Now, Hillary might have won it anyway. I'm not saying that she wouldn't have, but there were a number of states where Wasserman Schultz was pulling strings to disadvantage Bernie. And people saw it and people didn't like it. And that's why she got fired. I mean, she was fired as DNC chair because she was doing things that are unethical. So for Nancy to be going down to Florida today and backing her against a progressive like Tim Canova, that's a very, very big deal. And it turns people off. It makes people, I mean, at the most, there will be lots and lots of people who will say, you know, the Democrats are just the lesser of two evils. And they are the lesser of two evils. And the thing is, when you want to show how much you hate Trump, that might be enough to get people out.
Right.
But other people will say, why even bother to vote? They're just, you know, they're terrible too. I'm not going to do it. And there are a lot of people who do that. And you don't want to depress the turnout. I mean, the little story I just told you about that district, the legislative district in Pennsylvania, that's an example of that. The Republicans didn't come out to vote because Trump is depressing the turnout. But you don't want to do the same thing and depress the Democratic turnout. That will kill the wave. And I did a story, in fact, this morning on my blog called Will Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer Be Able to Kill the Wave? Now, I don't believe they're going to, but they're going to try their darndest.
Yeah, and the enthusiasm is going to be down amongst progressives if the DCCC and their ancillary little organizations have their way, giving us a lot of candidates who are blue dogs and new Dems.
Exactly.
You know, and I'll put it this way. Look, this is why I'm so gung-ho on primaries and reminding people, make sure your voter registration is in good order now, because we are in primary season. This is where the really, really important work is done. In the when it comes to November, we got to do whatever we can to get the Republicans out of power. And that means vote for whoever the Democrat is, even if it is a blue dog or a new Dem. But now, during primary season, is when we can actually make a difference.
Absolutely right. Now, I don't know that I would do that lesser of two evils vote. I sort of gave up on that some years ago, but I understand what you're saying.
Right. Well, I mean, and you look at, and again, there's no, we just look at what happened with the Dreamers. There's no assurances that someone with the D next to their name is going to vote the right way. But I think when it comes down to it, the party would put some pressure on them. For the most part,
you wish.
Anyway.
You wish.
Right, I wish.
You know, let me tell you, in the last minutes we have,
yes,
about someone named Kirsten Sinema.
Yes.
She has the worst voting record of any Democrat in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not speculating that that's her voting record. She votes with the Republicans around 70% of the time on crucial issues, and she votes with the Democrats about 30% of the time.
Wow.
And you're saying that the Democrats are going to put pressure on her? Would you consider pressure that she got picked by Chuck Schumer to be the candidate for the U.S. Senate in the state that is most likely to flip from red to blue? You know, it's Arizona.
Right.
And she's going to be a U.S. senator.
Yeah.
That's no pressure.
No.
And she's going to get in the Senate, and she'll be another horrible one. You know, there were I think, five or six senators who just did the same thing and voted against the Dreamers, and they were just the most conservative ones. She'll be the next one in there.
Right. No, she'll be another Joe Manchin. Now, I understand in West Virginia that maybe Joe Manchin might be the best we could hope for, might be. But Arizona is a different story. And I don't understand Chuck Schumer pushing Kirsten Sinema. Now, I did hear from a listener who lives in that district and said it's a very red district and she does what she has to do. And I give her a hard time about her votes all the time.
Her district is not a red district at all. She has a very, very blue district. So
wow.
He's never telling you that. Is in his own dream world. That is a totally, I'll tell you what that district is. I'll look it up so we can talk. We're talking numerically. We're talking about Arizona's ninth district. I mean, when she started there, it was a scary, it was kind of a swing district. It was never a red district. But now, let me look it up here.
All right, we've only got about a minute.
Hillary won the district. Not Trump, and even their favorite son there, McCain, lost the district. So there's nothing red about this district.
Right.
What I'm looking up is the Cook PVI.
Okay.
So here it is, Arizona 9.
D plus 4.
Wow. So there was no excuse. There was no excuse.
It's not a swing. You could make a case that it's a swing district, but it's a safe Democratic seat.
All right. Well, and that really sucks. Chuck Schumer really jumped the shark this week with his whole shutdown nonsense. And, you know, he just showed he shouldn't be the minority leader. He shouldn't be the leader of the Democrats in the Senate. The Democratic Party has a lot of work to do, and they need to change leadership. Howie, we're out of time. Thank you so much.